So welcome to Calvary North Thurston tonight. You get a special guest. Well, me. Sam gets a little bit of a break today. I don't have any announcements. Hopefully we don't have any announcements that we're supposed to share today other than bringing this microphone at me so you can hear me and the people online can hear me. Well, let's go ahead and start by opening in prayer because I need it. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for just being our Lord and Savior. And I pray, Lord, as we get into this study tonight, that you will just open our minds and hearts to your will. Help us to understand you better and get closer to you. And pray that you just be with us and we trust and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so tonight's topic, I'm going to give you half of the title of it to begin with, Whose Identity? Now, it sounds right from there that that's the title, but that's only half the title. So we'll start with Whose Identity? I'm going to be bouncing around a lot, but the main verse is Galatians 3:28. It's a nice short one, but it's very topical as it applies to whose identity. And this is the New King James. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, I picked this topic probably, as all of you know, in our society, we have a lot of identities, topics that are out there. It's in my work, it's in the media, it's kind of everywhere. And it was just pressed upon my heart to figure out, what does God have to say about identities? And so for me, like at work, I'll see statements or hear statements of things like, for persons who identify as blah, 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 here's a resource for you, here's a place to go, here's a group to be a part of. And I also have education as part of my work. And I recently went through something that's summarized as bias in hiring practices, how to minimize bias in hiring practices. And they talk about your personal biases or identities and how they can influence how you make decisions and how to understand those so that you can be fair in your hiring practices so you don't, you know, bias your hiring practice. And then, of course, we got the media, which they talk about identities all over the place. And I don't need to go on those because I think everybody in here has watched a little bit of TV. So we know that identity is a big thing out there. Well, before I get too far in this, I'm going to start with a simple example of an identity. I have a nice wallet here that has a bunch of identities in it. You know, like, well, I don't have it anymore. I used to have a gym membership, but can't go to those anymore with the COVID. Costco memberships. I have those kinds of things that are part of an identity. And probably the most commonly used one is my driver's license. Well, on this identity, it describes me and kind of like an overarching identity of who I am. So it has like my name, my address, date of birth, my height, weight, which we know that that's not accurate, and my birth date, and you know, other different characteristics that are on my driver's license, and also what state it's from, and whose law or whatever allows me to drive. So with this identity, it describes me. And there are parts of this description that there are rules behind this. You know, it authorized me to drive, but certain things I can drive. I can only drive like a car or a regular truck. I don't have a motorcycle endorsement, so I can't drive a motorcycle with this license. So there's, you know, the rules and procedures and laws that are underlying and are a part of this identity. Even if I don't fully follow those, not that I would ever speed or not stop at a stop sign or anything like that, but this says that I know how to do those things, whether I do them or not. So there's an identity associated with this. So to get into the bigger discussion of identities, I want to go through some definitions that I found to help kind of broaden the idea of an identity. So what I found is a few definitions. So the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. So identities are very personal and they're individual. Every one of us in this room has a different identity. There are different characteristics. We might be able to associate bits and pieces with other people, but if you look at every characteristic of me, it's different. I'm not the same as everybody else. Another definition is the condition of being the same with something described or asserted. Sameness of essential or generic character in different instances. Sameness in all the constituents, the objective reality of a thing. Oneness. And then my favorite is an equation that is satisfied for all values of the symbols. That's the math one. X equals whatever. So that's the identity. So notice that there's same or sameness is the key characteristic of an identity. So it's helpful to understand the antonyms that go with identity. So the opposite of identity is a difference or dissimilarity or unlikeness. So basically my words are, I have brown eyes. So I identify as having brown eyes, and anybody else that have brown eyes can identify with me, and everybody that does not have brown eyes cannot identify with me. They're a different identity. If we take just one characteristic of me, brown eyes, that means that identity has an inclusion and it has an exclusion set. If you have an identity, that means you're exclusive of other identities. You can't have both. So if we go back to the verse that we started with, you have male or not male. You have Jew or not Jew. You have slave or not slave. So if you're in an identity, then you're exclusive of any of the other identities. And when I thought about these identities and using my driver's license as an example, there are two categories of identities. There are changeable identities and unchangeable identities. You're like, well, what does that mean? Well, unchangeable characteristics are like my birthday. That is an identity that cannot be changed. It's with me forever, no matter how old I get. I will always have that birthday as a part of my identity. And every year I'm reminded of that. And yeah. But another part of my identity that does not change is my DNA. It doesn't change. We know this from science. We know this from scripture, obviously. Your DNA doesn't change. Who gave you your DNA doesn't change. And so on and so forth. So your DNA doesn't change. So there's unchangeable characteristics about individual. But there's also changeable things. And there are three different subcategories that I found when looking at the changeable. There are things that I choose as an identity. So I can choose where I work. So I have an employment identity. I have an education identity, what kind of knowledge I want to gain, political identity, where I live identity. Now, all these things, when you put it together, will help make an individual's identity that we can choose. So we have unchangeable, changeable. But there are also identities that are changeable that other people give us. Now, these are the best example that I could give that can be impactful is think of kids and adults who are bullied online, that people may call them fat or gross or some other name. They give them an identity that the individual didn't choose. And that's a form of bullying, but it's an identity that somebody else gave an individual, which can be very impactful to the individual. And then there's, of course, the third kind of changeable, which is a fake identity. You can take on somebody else's personality. A positive thing that we think about this are actors. You know, they take an identity on of their character, and that becomes their identity as an example of who that character is. But there's also bad fake identities, like identity thieves. So I'm going to slow down a little bit. I mean, I've been talking a lot about, you know, the definitions and stuff like that. And I'm trying to get to how it's been impactful for me, why, you know, listening to all these descriptions, we see in society that there are all these identities flowing around, and some of them are good and are helpful, like a driver's license shows I'm capable of driving. But there's also bad identities or things that people give us that we have no control over, those kinds of things. And I mean, a simple example is like an employer. An employer has an employee. If that true employee is who they say they are, then the employer knows who to pay. And so that's a good, positive relationship. But if somebody steals the identity of that employee and the employer pays them, well, that's a bad thing, because the employer paid the wrong person. And so somebody's going to have to suffer for that bad identity that happened. One of the things in our society that has been difficult for me is that they're basing a lot of identity by how people look. And so they're doing it based off of visual identities and not content identities. And of course, Martin Luther King Jr. said it best, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Now, that was spoken well over 50 years ago, and we're still having the same problem of people being judged based off of how they look and not by the content of their character. And so as a Christian, I want to understand what Christ has to say about this, what God has to say about identities, and to help prepare myself to be better able to respond to these kinds of statements, and to also strengthen my identity in Christ. And we know that this is, I mean, it's not like a recent thing. We just read in Galatians 3:28 that the early Christians had a problem with this identity. I mean, obviously, let's go ahead and look at the first one. Neither Jew nor Greek. So this is a race or culture identity. And Paul is responding to Peter about some issues in Galatians 2:11-16, which reads, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I understood him to his face, or I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? And then 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So here is a good example of Jew and Greek. They both have different cultures, but they're coming to Christ. But they have different cultures. And here's Peter trying to basically tell the Greeks that you have to be like the Jews. And so you have to be circumcised. You have to follow certain traditions of the Jews. And Paul said, no, they're Greeks. They're not Jews. They have a different culture, but they're both under the identity of Christ. Now, as we get further into this, I'll talk more about that. But, you know, there's their identity of their race or culture, but it's under something else, which is Christ. And then the next part of Galatians 3 is neither slave nor free, nor free. So we're talking about wealth and status. So there's the first example that talks about this is Proverbs 22:2. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. So again, you have these identities of rich and poor, but they're under their creator. So they have an identity that they can associate with. And James 2:1-4 talks about this even better. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So again, you have the rich and the poor, but it's how you treat them. Under Christ, we treat people the same, no matter what their status or position is. And then the third one from that verse is neither male nor female. That's a gender identity. We definitely hear a lot about that. And so in Genesis 1:26-28, the first part of it reads, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. So some important parts from this, obviously, they were both created in the image or likeness or identity or characteristics of God. They were created the same. Even though they're different, they have different gender, they're still under the same God, the same creator, the same identity was put on both of them. And so we, as Christians, see that difference, which gets us to the final part of that passage in Galatians. Is that we're one in Christ. which Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, I think does a good job. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we were chosen, and obviously God asked us to choose him back, but he chose us to have that identity, and that identity is Christ. So he gave us the perfect example. Now, we all know as Christians, we can't live up to that, but we have Christ as our mediator that does that for us. And so some things that I want to point out here is all these identities, when we look back at Scripture, it doesn't get rid of those identities. It doesn't say rich or poor is bad. It doesn't say Jew or Greek are bad. It doesn't say male or female are bad. But it puts them in a place, which is under Christ. So we shouldn't have a problem with accepting the identities that we have, but we need to weigh those identities, because we are in a fallen, sinful world, and know that they're flawed, and that we have to look to Christ as the way we should be, and to recognize that we are fallen that way. Yeah, and pretty much the main point of those is that we're all treated the same, even though we have these different identities, but we treat each other the same because of who our Creator is. So for me to continue with this, I need to talk about that identity in Christ. So in our society, the word Christian is thrown out a lot. And we know we're Christians, but there are a lot of other groups that use that same term, but mean something slightly different. And we have, you know, the prosperity gospel, the Catholic Church, Seventh-day Adventists, Protestants, Mormons. There's a lot of groups that use that term Christian. So I want to slow down a little bit and talk about what Christian means to me. And that's from a perspective of, well, what I'm going to talk about is from a Protestant, which is pretty much the belief that I have. Now, this part that I'm coming up to, I got from a Netflix show called The American Gospel, Christ Alone. And in it, I found it to be very informational, but they talk about what they call the five solas, which is, solas is Latin for alone. And this is a foundational set of principles of salvation that were taught by Martin Luther and Reform leaders in contrast to the Catholic Church. And so for me, you know, I know these things I'm about to talk about, but I didn't have them formulated, you know, in an easy to digest way. And so this is a good place to add these to show what an identity in Christ is, at least something that we can show the world of who our identity is. So the first solas, or the first alone, is Scripture alone. And it comes from 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so what this alone means is that Scripture is supreme. It's divine. It's the truth of God's word. Any other books that may be out there may be helpful to understand or digest what Scripture says. But if there's any contradiction, Scripture is the truth. And so that's one of the foundations of Christianity as I define it, is a part of. The next alone is faith alone. And that comes from Galatians 3:11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And so we're not justified by the law or by our works. We're justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. So nothing else can justify that. The third one is grace alone. So Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this one, being grace alone, means that I cannot boast in the accomplishments or merits or anything that I've done. There's no boasting in me. There's a humility. At least there should be a humility. The fourth one is through Christ alone. So 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So through Christ alone means that there are no other mediators. There is nobody that I go through to get to God except Jesus Christ. There's not a pope, there's not a pastor, there's no other saints or anything like that. Christ alone, he is my mediator. There is no other. And then the fifth one is glory to God alone, which comes from 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability with God's, which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So again, the glory belongs to God alone. We don't give glory to anybody else, any individuals, any groups. The glory belongs to God alone. So to kind of put this in a nice, quick thing that I'm trying to be able to use to respond, is that I am saved by, or my identity in Christ is built on faith alone, not works, grace alone, not merits, Christ alone, no other mediators, Scripture alone, and to the glory of God alone. Those are the foundations of Christianity that should help me to then respond when people ask, what's my identity? If they ask, they might just give me an identity. And so with God, he wants a relationship with us. So he first chose us, as we read, and then we respond or choose him back, and then we, through obedience, then follow him. So it's a good night. So here we are at the end of my notes almost. And I have to ask a question. Whose identity reigns in my life? If somebody is looking at me and watching me and questioning me, would they be able to tell who reigns, whose identity reigns in my life? Will I let the pressures from external sources, the world around me, influence my identity? Will I let them reduce my identity? Will they try and bring up one of my other identities to make it more important than Christ is in my life? You know, so, and as we saw, the Bible even talks about good things, good identities. But will I let any of those reign in my life? Will I let any of those other good identities? And there's nothing wrong with being male or female. There's nothing wrong with being Jew or Greek. There's nothing wrong with being rich or poor. But will it rule and reign my life? And how we might see that is, let's just pick one. Okay, so I can pick an identity. I have two identities. I have an employee identity and I have a husband identity. If I let my work employee identity reign in my life, my husband identity will suffer. That's a workaholic. I go to work early, come home late, never experience being a husband because I let that reign in my life. Or if it was the opposite, nothing wrong with loving my wife, being an awesome husband, but if I did that 24/7, my work would suffer. So how do you balance those two out? Those are two competing identities. You need some other overarching identity to help manage all these other identities that we have. If we go based off the world, they will choose our identity for us. And I'm not sure we want them choosing our identity. And there's nothing wrong with the identities. I mean, we know there's fake ones, we know there's bad ones, but there's a lot of good ones out there, but they can still be equally harmful to us and to everybody else if we don't have an overarching identity that guides us. And so I'm going to finish early with a couple last statements. Will I let Christ reign in me? Will I let Christ reign in me? Now, what would that look like? Well, internally, it's an acceptance of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, accepting him, as we saw through the five solas. There's that foundation. But what would it also look to everybody else? Well, he tells us in Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, there's two. Love God and love others. So if you need to know if your identity in Christ is working, you should ask yourself, am I loving God and am I loving others? Are my other identities causing a conflict there that we need to give back to Christ and get that identity back? And so then I'm going to finish with this last statement. Who reigns in your life? I know who I say reigns in my life. But do I do the things also? Am I just saying it or am I living it? Is Christ really reigning in my life? And so I think that's a good spot to end, is for us to really ask ourselves whose identity reigns in our life. So I'm going to go to the close prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for just giving us your word and your spirit and your son. I pray, Lord, that this message, Lord, will get deep into our hearts to help us to let you reign in our lives. Let your identity be our identity. Help us to just be molded and shaped into who you are, Lord. It will be painful at times. It will be hard. And we're going to fail, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, for being our Lord. And that it's all through you. We pray that we give all the glory to you. And Lord, I just pray that this is transforming to each one of us. pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.